We won't keep you long tonight. We got studying on this yesterday. We got feeling a little better. But here in 1 Corinthians 13, especially verse 11, but you can read all 13 verses and it'll be good for you. It will not hurt you a bit. But Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I seen the two children, you know, being children. And it took a little while for me to get used to a church without children, because we had two different sets, you know, but children are pretty well gone, except the ones that are, you know, in the not able to attend. But when God says here in the 11th verse, you know, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I believe that's literal, and I believe that it is important to let a child be a child. We want our kids to grow up, you know, and but it's very important that they have this ability to be a child, and then as they grow up, that they put away the childish things and take on the maturity part that God would have them do. And, you know, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, you know, Paul was writing here to the church of Ephesus, and he said, be no more children, you know, tossed to and fro, you know, in the chapter, we go to the 13th chapter and we read verse 11, and you know, Paul speaks about childhood. But as we get into this study tonight, you know, what Paul is saying here to us, that when he was a child, he spake as a child, he understood as a child, he thought as a child. And when he became a man, he put away childish things. I think there's a time to be joyful. It's a time to enjoy life. There's a time to be serious, especially when it comes to your spiritual life. It is time that we be, serious about it. We can get in our spiritual lives just like we do our physical life. You know, well, this is what I do on Monday, and this is what I do on Tuesday. And well, you know, if you're living where it's a church service on Wednesday, you say, well, I, you know, this is what I do on Wednesday and Sunday. But it's a habit, but it's a good habit, but I don't want to go on that tonight in the short period of time. I will keep you, because Paul makes it clear here in the 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, and that he spake as a child, and he understood as a child, and he thought as a child. But when we become grown, we start thinking so that we can do what God is leading us to do, or the responsibility of the family, or whatever God may have you to do. But when we face the truth, there are many grown-up people in our day, even Christian people, who have childlike behavior. And I'm not talking about not living and enjoying life. I think that God wants us to enjoy life. He and you know, it never hurt any of us to smile and to laugh. But there's a time for that. There's a time for that. And as we study the Word of God, you know, and we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, notice what the Lord says here. 1 Peter chapter 2, we see here in verse 2, it's a very simple verse here, but he said, you know, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So in reality, I was a child, and I grew out of that childhood and became a man and took on the responsibilities that comes with being a man. But God says when we're saved, we start out as a baby again. We start out as a baby. You know, if you're in church a long time before God saves you, you know a lot, but, you know, once God saves you, then certainly that is much different. But, you know, he's talking about as newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the word that he may grow by. And Brother Jacob and his wife is seeing that with the two kids. They grow and they're almost, they change from, you know, from month to month. You know, we almost forget when it was when they was a newborn, because they grow so rapidly and they pick up, especially if you give them the attention in the worldly things. It'll also happen if you give them the attention in the spiritual things as well. See, there are full-grown adults, even Christian adults, who have been saved for years but are still babes. That shouldn't be. You know, we are concerned. You know, I'm sure that the new parents would be concerned if Josie and John wasn't walking right, they weren't moving right. You know, you're concerned because you have looked at it, and that child is supposed to go through certain stages. Also, you know, 55 years ago, I was born again, and I was a babe, and I didn't know very much and understood even less. But as I grew, there was difference. You know, the body was basically the same, except it just got bigger or something, but it was something inside of me that was forming, because I had now been born again, and this body is my enemy. This body is not your friend. But we dwell in that, but that's not our permanent home. That's not our permanent home. We all agree, would I have to say, don't you think it's your responsibility to take care of your body? That's why we go to the doctor, you know. I went to the doctor, you know, and he gave me a shot and gave me some medicine and said, if that don't help, come back, you know. Because we got to have the body healthy, but the main reason we got to have that body healthy because there's a spiritual body that lives in us. And just as we got to feed this body, we got to feed the body inside of this body, and that's the spirit body. It's not like this body. It doesn't have, you know, a different set of arms and legs and mouth and ears, but it's the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said, you know, it is expedient. It's necessary that I go away. You know, but if I go away, he's talking to the saved, the Holy Spirit will come, and he lives in me. Every one of us in this room tonight, if we're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if we don't take care of the body, it affects our spiritual body. So being a childlike Christian, and I believe personally, because I have, that is just my belief, that there are too many adult Christians that have not matured along the same road that the body has. And I can prove that to my own satisfaction is because we know just enough about the book of Revelation and God's timetable, and you know, when we see what's happening, we see what's happening all over the country. And, you know, these things in relationship to what's got to take place when the Lord comes back, some of us, me being one, think that the Lord is going to come sooner than most Baptists believe they are. But we need to realize that as Numbers, I think it's 32:23, you know, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure that, you know, I found out quite quickly when I was called a priest and I went to Lexington Baptist College and I attended Cincinnati Baptist College. I wish I had been a little bit more serious when I was in the regular school. We said, because at the time, all we wanted to, you know, visualize ourselves walking across that stage, you know, didn't think about anything else as getting out. But I was lost then. But now that I have saved and been saved a long, long time, I'm concerned if I am going to be spiritually right tomorrow. Because God could come tomorrow. We don't know when he's coming, but we know he could come tomorrow. Now, you'll hear all these guys on radio. You may receive papers, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and here we are. You know, Jesus said, I don't even know when the Father is going to tell me, son, go get my children. But we know it's going to take place. So we don't want to be babes in Christ. We want to be full-grown adults that love God, want to serve him. If we got a family, take care of that family. You know, that's our responsibility. You've got a responsibility as a father. You've got a responsibility as a mother. But you also got a responsibility as a child of God. So children pout over disappointments. Childlike Christians, you know, they internalize or their disappointment, and you know, and if they're not doing what they know God wants them to do, they'll easily speak out against somebody else so they won't draw the attention to themselves. That's just fleshly, because we got to understand that's not a bad person, but our flesh is against us. This flesh that carries the real me around is my enemy. And we forget that sometimes. But we go back to, you know, when the answer to Cain's question, you know, in Genesis 4:9, am I my brother's keeper? You know, is it my responsibility? Well, I believe as a Christian, if God opens the door, it's my responsibility to walk through that door. In other words, if God has given me just a flat-out opportunity to tell somebody about my Lord and Savior, It's my responsibility. Children, pound on others without care. You know, children can be ruthless. They can be, hurtful, uncaring about the pain that they inflict on others. But don't we see that spiritually, or can we see that spiritually? You know, if you're here tonight and saved, you wouldn't be saved tonight if somebody hadn't told you about Christ. And I'm going to really blow your mind if you haven't ever heard it. But in the book of Ephesians, God wrote my name in the book of life before he created this earth. Now, when you make that statement and when you believe that doctrine, and I can prove everything I'm saying, there are no surprises with the Lord. So, I believe the bottom line that, I have seen a steady change in personalities and what's important when it comes to spiritual things the last 2 or 3 years, especially. I'd say the last 5 years. It's sort of like, you want everything just right when you're trying to impress your girl that you plan to marry. And when we're being introduced by the Holy Spirit to things of God, and none of us, I don't care what your education is, how long you've been in church or nothing, you can't understand the Word of God unless the Spirit of God shows it to you. You can be able to memorize it. But memorizing is not knowing. Now, children are a gift from God. I'm a child. I'm one of God's children. He chose me. The Son died for me. And the Holy Spirit, if I will allow the Holy Spirit, He will teach me everything that I need to know so that when I die or the second coming comes and I'm raptured up, that I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. See, it's once you get that settled, being a Christian is a lot of fun because you understand that God saved you for a purpose, not just to keep you out of hell. Now, children always pick themselves first. This is seen in picking the best seat, the biggest bowl of ice cream, the last piece of cake, or whatever. The children want it first. Can you remember when you was first saved, how excited you was about it? But after we're saved a few years, it becomes not as important to us. But have you ever thought about the reason? The reason is when God first saved me, man, I wanted to know more. I had a desire to know more. I read on my own. I studied on my own. I prayed on my own. But as we learn and we grow and we see the doctrines and what God has done for us, and we believe and study and we prove it to ourselves from the Word of God that we cannot lose what God has gave us, because we had nothing to do with it except we made ourselves available to the Word of God, and the Spirit of God convicted us. Greatest thing that ever happened to you. Nothing can compare to salvation. But let's look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. In the 12th chapter of Mark, and let's look around verse 39, when God said here, and the chief seats in the synagogue and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devoured widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. I don't know how long God leads a man to pray, but something happened to me probably 20 years ago. I was still working at IBM, and they had a Long John Silver's out on Broadway, and I went out there to eat dinner. And there was two men that I knew where they went to church, the Church of Light Faith. When I came in, they bowed their heads, and one of the queens was praying. And I was almost finished with my dinner, you know, by the time they brought it, and he was still praying. And he was praying so everybody in the restaurant could hear him if they wanted to. You know, I'm not saying he was wrong, but I don't believe that God want us to do spiritual things in front of somebody as a way of life so that we make them understand or believe that we're saved. I think it's just a difference between a saved person and a lost person. I don't have to pray for 20 minutes. If God's leading me to pray for 20 minutes, but I'm just saying I just never got over that. And then a few years later, I found out that they sung good. They were members of a good independent Baptist church. But saved people don't fool around with kids. It just doesn't happen. Now, you may differ with me, but I mean, that goes against my grain. You know, it's when God saves us, we're different. We're different. And that's what God is saying strictly here in Mark, you know, as we just read in the 12th chapter, you know, when we read here, and he said, and the chief seat in the synagogues and the uttermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, there shall receive a greater damnation. I believe that those pretenders, and I don't know their hearts, and you don't know their hearts, you don't know my heart, I don't know yours, but if the only reason that I'm doing something on the spiritual side is to get you to notice me and have no idea, oh, that man's blessed. Did you see what he did? Did you hear what he did? Your greatest worship is between you and God. That's where the real worship comes. Now, children protect with their own life, their own interests, do they not? I mean, you know, if you have a son and he's hooked on ball and he plays ball good, He's going to try to influence you. He'll influence his daddy, and he'll talk to his mother. You know, I'd make a lot of money playing ball. In other words, we push what we want to do, what we want to be. But yet, God tells us here, what I want to do and what God wants me to do may not be the same thing. But whatever I'm doing, you know, whatever I take up, God's still got to be in my life. He's still got to be important to me. Now notice with me in Luke 14. Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 7. Luke 14, verse 7. And he put a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him that come and say to thee, give this man's place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, and when he that bade there cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, then shall thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. I believe the teaching there, several teachings, but the teaching I want to show you that if we were God wants us to be, there's not a high seat or a low seat. I mean, I'm the pastor here. I've been here a long time. How much longer I'm going to be here, that's between the Lord. But if God added Brother Steve and Brother Matthew and all the men and all the ladies, if God added them to this body, they're just as important as I am. And we're not taking away from the prestige, from the, you know, God calls people, leads people to church, but not everybody is called pastor. Not everybody in the Army and Navy and Marines and whatever groups they have now, not every one of them is captain material or major material or general material. But when we go to war, every one of those privates, corporals, whatever they're called now, they are important too. Now, the reason I want to say that is because I've had people tell me, well, you know, Brother Lance, I don't hold an office. You know, I'm not a clerk. I'm not a treasurer. I'm not this. I'm not this. I'm not this. But if God added you to this body, you're important. Because God will not take good wood and mix it with bad wood. But we know in whatever facet of life we're in, there's bad wood works itself in. And the Bible's clear on that. But see, if we do get that mentality, God added me to Edmund Road Baptist Church, or God added me to this church or that church, that wherever God adds you, that's where he's going to use you. Children pretend to be what they are not, but we know that. And anybody that's been in church any time at all, they have seen a family that we thought was, you know, man, that's just a precious family. The husband loves the Lord, the wife, the children, I mean. And then we find out down the road that they would do something you would never imagine. You would never even think about it. That's why that you take the beauty of this universe, but not everything in this universe is beautiful. There's some bad stuff in this universe. And there's going to be some rough times and bad times in our life. But, you know, it's just as simple as the thing of having your head so full that you can't hardly breathe, it feels like it's bursting, and the next day or two it clears up. Man, feels good, doesn't it? You forget how good it felt. And we see this in our teaching. See, children put the blame on others. You know, Johnny did this. Poor Johnny always get the blame. Good example is a childlike Christian is the person which drops out of church because someone at church did me wrong. If you stay in church long enough, somebody will hurt your feelings, I'll guarantee you. That will happen. But did God add you to that church or did that person? So when we stop and think about that, Johnny always gets the blame, but a good example of childlike Christian is the person who drops out of church because someone at the church did them wrong, hurt their feelings, was unfriendly. But what are you at church for? A good church is a church that you can learn about Christ more and more and more. That's why that I say to y'all every time I preach or after preach, you know, if I can't prove what I preach in the Bible, I shouldn't be preaching it. And to the best of my ability, I've got to strive to live what I preach. If I don't, it's not effective. Couple more points. Children pick on the weak and helpless and becomes angry over small things. Notice, let me read it again. Children pick on the weak and the helpless and become angry over the small things. You know why they do that? They're children. James speaks about it. Luke taps on it. 1 Samuel talks about it. Babes. Babes in the church. We gotta grow up spiritually. You know, it was a friend of mine, this actually happened. He would complain to me, he said, I love my kids, but boy, they just take all the extra money that I have. I just listened to him. About a year later, his baby died. He never complains about spending money again. Think about that statement. It wasn't original. It just happened to play out in my life, you know. Church costs money. Military costs money. Fire department costs money. I mean, we go on and on and on. But do we want to live in a country where that protection is not available? Do we want to live in a church? And I realize that this teaching is not like I teach on Sunday morning and Sunday night. But this teaching is necessary for me. It's necessary for you, whether you realize it or not, is that being a childlike Christian. But God said, when you're a baby, it's all right, but as you grow up, you put away baby things. Little things that'll make you mad when you're a child, when you grow up, those things shouldn't bother you. Why? Because you have grown. Now you've got the mental ability and the love, and you know that, you know, it's not always going to be that way. So our last point is that children plan playtime until there is no time left to do the more important things. And I wrote a little note here. I said, children rarely get interested in the important things of life. Children do not normally ask serious questions or take life serious and childlike. Christians play with life, while mature Christians are serious about the things of God. No, I didn't write that statement. That's D.L. Moody. But as I read after Mr. Moody a lot, he'll put those statements in his teaching. And it's so true. Sometimes we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. I'm not talking about no gross sin, just our attitude or how we approach things. And we see it in somebody else, but it's hard to see it in ourselves. But I believe there's a scripture, you know, where two friends, and one of them told his other friend, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." We better make sure that we're not doing what is upsetting us that other people are doing. Because if it's wrong for Peter, it's wrong for John. Wrong for Mary, it's wrong for Alice. You know, preachers and preachers' wives and preachers' kids don't get no breaks. So as we close, we need to thank God for godly, mature, involved, faithful believers who have matured in their walk with Christ. And as we close, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. God says here, "But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." Everything that we do, we need to be reminded that God sees it. You know, I used to tell people when I was lost and some of my family was saved, I said, "All of these beer joints and town halls and has two doors. You know, the front door is for the lost man and the back door is for the Christian." because when you go into some of those places, you know, especially in there, I mean, you know, what it held me back, and I'll close with this, that Judy would know him, you know, but when I went to a Presbyterian church, just, you know, not regular, I was lost. But there was a man in that church that I had some respect for. And I'll always, and I look at it different now because, you know, back then you would look at it and say, how can an elder do that? How can a deacon do that? Well, we just got to remember that elder, that deacon, that preacher, he's a man too. But when I stopped at a place on US 25, I think it was called Old Dixie, you know, his building's burned down, everything now or something, but went in there, and there sent my Sunday school teacher, you know. And, you know, I would handle it a lot different now, you know, but I couldn't understand as a young man, you know, why he was teaching one thing and practicing something else. And that's why that I'd be lying to you if I said I do it every day, but I do it quite often. I look myself in the mirror when I'm washing off, shaving, brushing my teeth or whatever. Are you really what everybody thinks you are? And I think everybody ought to do that every once in a while, because we get lost in the lives of other people. And as long as I didn't find something wrong with somebody else, I don't see mine. That's just the way we humans are. As long as I don't have to put the spotlight on me. And I think you don't want to live every day doubting yourself. But we can get too comfortable in what we say we are, and this is our checklist. You don't have to make a list. You just, that's why, and I don't know whether I told Jacob that or not, but I've been striving for 5-10 years, buddy, to get everybody to read one chapter of Proverbs, you know, 31 chapters. Just one chapter a week. One chapter a day is what I do. And I've been doing it for a long, long time. Proverbs is good. I don't care where you at, what you're doing. Read that, because it covers almost everything that faces us in life. It really does. Brother Jacob, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, brother?
Dear God, thank you.